On America Tonight, a big week for a couple of different reasons, including John Edwards. I know, he's my favorite punching bag lately. Ah, so easy. We'll see ultimately what happens to him, as the jury will now decide whether or not he's going to be convicted of campaign fraud. But really the biggest thing is we have this NATO summit going on in Chicago. So, of course, already you've got lots of protests. 45 people or so were arrested as they clashed with the cops. Lots of overtime for the guy walking the beat. Although, gladly, some of them, from what I understand, would rather not be doing the summit because they know how crazy it can get with Molotov cocktails perhaps being thrown and the typical scene that you see in other countries wherever a summit is held. It's very complicated. And because there is a big rift between the United States, that would be us, and Pakistan, that would be them, there are a lot of complications. So here's the deal. Here's the real story. And you heard it here first. In Afghanistan, Hamid Karzai is the ultimate ruler, democratically speaking, of course. And he held us over a barrel, wanting money for his troops, of course, and his police force in Afghanistan for training, you see, because we're leaving in 2014. So we, the nation, agreed to $5 billion or $6 billion a year, probably till 2024. Did you know that? Here's the part that you probably don't know. Pakistan now has been blocking for a long time, for months, our roads in that country for the supply routes, the roads that we've been using for supply routes to get into Afghanistan. It's causing a lot of problems, a lot of problems, logistically speaking, and it's pretty scary because some of the trucks are getting picked off. So we're trying to play nice with Pakistan. They want money. You see, they want too much money for our heavy trucks to go over their roads. And they're trying to hold the U.S. over a barrel as well. What ultimately will happen, we'll see what comes out of the summit. Probably no big agreement. However, they're talking about that they're trying to get close on an agreement. So by the time everybody picks our pockets, how much money do you think we're going to have left? Certainly not enough to deal with our own crises, because we are in a chaotic stretch. We absolutely are in a lame duck congressional session. And that's, there's no question. With the amount of people who are running to get reelected, with the fact that we're in a 2012 presidential year, a cycle, it's not about now, it's about later. But it's always that way, isn't it? Not about now, it's about later. And later means another Band-Aid over the debt ceiling. And if some things aren't done, and you think, I don't care, why are you talking about this? I'm sick of this. We all hate the Washington gridlock and the people that are in Washington and what they're doing to the common man, even though they're just supposed to represent us. Here's the thing. Pay attention to what might affect you with the taxes, because a lot of things could get hiked up a lot. We're talking about with the payroll tax cut that was backed by the president. Now looks like that thing goes out. Let's say that goes out. There's no agreement there. Well, you'll see, you'll notice you'll be light in your check there. I don't care how much it is. You're going to be lighter. And that's not the only thing. There are other cuts, like spending cuts to the military. That's going to mean some job loss. There are some other things that will be triggered by the debt ceiling deal from the last time around that'll start in the beginning of 2013. We're almost into June, so you do the math before you know it. Merry Christmas, and we're into another year. It's so easy to put it off, isn't it? That's what we are. We just put it off. So there's a lot happening, but there still isn't any movement because of the lame duck aspect of this Congress. It's more about the blame game. We remember a guy named Al Megrahi and the fact that so many of us were furious that Scotland Yard let him go. He's a Lockerbie bomber. So we did get Gaddafi in a sense. So retribution or the feeling of, I guess, revenge, although revenge is best served, as they say, in a cold dish, right? However, if you had somebody on the plane that was blown up for no apparent reason, the Pan Am flight, which seems like so long ago, and it was, then it still runs very deep into the hearts of those people, especially in the Northeast in New Jersey, a lot of the people from New Jersey, New York area. Senator Chuck Schumer had this to say about the death of Al Megrahi as he was moved a couple of years ago and he finally succumbed to his disease. Here were his thoughts.
It is a grave injustice that this evil terrorist who caused so much heartache and havoc died in freedom instead of behind bars where he belonged. It's particularly offensive that he was able to spend his final days with his family when he deprived so many others of that opportunity.
I'd have to agree with Schumer. It was a layup for him to hold a presser on this, but absolutely, he should have never been in that situation in the first place. The Scottish government, shame on you for allowing that to happen. Then this was years ago. Oh, he's going to die. We have to get him back to his mother country, whatever. This was smacked of a deal for oil, no doubt about that. And the Pan Am flight, you know, you go back to 1988. And will we ever know the full truth about what happened there? Probably not. There's no question, though, a number of the Lockerbie victims, I already mentioned this, were from the New York, New Jersey area. And Megrahi was the guy who was convicted in 2001, finally. It took that long. Of blowing up the plane, which was going from London to New York, and it killed 259 people aboard and 11 people in Lockerbie on the ground. They released him in 2009 because he had cancer. He was expected to live only a few months, but ha-ha, he fooled everyone. He lived a lot longer, and he was an evil dude and should not have ever been allowed to go back to Libya. And when he got there, they rubbed it in everyone's faces because they held big parades. But that's yesterday's news. The only real aspect of it is that finally this guy dies, but this many years later it happens. And you knew it. You just knew it when he was released that was what the real deal was going to be for sure. Stay with us. Coming up on the flip side, little odds and ends. Of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado, and to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. But it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America. And he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier. And I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Good day, Jim Newcomer from Midas Resources. May 18th, 2012. Gold opened this morning at $15.91.80. A 1 ounce gold coin can be purchased for $16.31.80, $8.15.90 for a half ounce, or $407.95 for a quarter ounce. That's $16.31.80, $8.15.90, and $407.95.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? Wait a sec. Gold and silver is going up while Congress is trying to settle on the next debt increase. And there's no end to this madness. That old 401k and IRA can be converted into physical gold without tax consequences. I explained this in my book, 10 Reasons to Buy Gold. Don't let time slip away. Call for your free copy today, 800-686-2237. Get away from that Washington spin and get honest answers about gold. 800-686-2237. The book is free, 800-686-2237.
Iodine protection packs from hempusa.org are now in stock for immediate delivery worldwide. Our iodine protection packs include microplant powder, green life kelp, red palm oil, and our clear roll-on iodine that will feed the body the iodine it needs. All iodine protection packs are in stock. Save you money and ship for free in all 50 states. Visit hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608 today. HempUSA.org has a revolutionary wonder food for detoxing the body and rebuilding the immune system. Microplant powder can help unclog arteries and soften heart valves while removing heavy metals, virus, fungus, bacteria, and parasites. Plus, it cleans and purifies the blood, lungs, stomach, and colon. Keep your body clean with microplant powder. Visit us at HempUSA.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
Can't you just visualize it right now? John Travolta walking down the street with that pompadour do he was sporting in the 70s and a can of paint. Robin Gibb, dead at the age of 62, fought hard, and his family really rallying behind him, thought that he had a good chance to kick it, and for a while he had. He had colon and liver cancer. And finally, he succumbed to it after a long battle with this. He even had intestinal surgery, and the family was pretty quiet about it. They just quietly announced that he had died. And when you think of disco, the Bee Gees would definitely be there at the top of the charts. 60s and 70s, they had a lot of disco hits. Stayin' Alive was a big one. How Deep Is Your Love, Night Fever, and others too. They had album sales of like 200 million copies. I was reading somewhere. How about that? And if you think of that, amount of what they sold, that's Rolling Stones. That's, you know, they're right up there with the Rolling Stones and Pink Floyd. You know, who knew their music was out there. You flip on now and you still, it doesn't matter. You kind of flip around and you'll still get some of that old Bee Gees stuff. So Robin Gibb, dead at the age of 62. Moving on from that to in odds and ends, and boy, there were a lot of them to choose from. Let me tell you, it was kind of a wild weekend. But, you know, since we talked about the Robin Gibb thing, we move from that to the Kennedys. Every time a Kennedy dies, now immediately what do people say? I got a couple of texts right away. Oh, it's the Kennedy curse, because it just seems like, I mean, seriously, they fall like dominoes, but for different reasons. What was particularly awful about this one is Mary Richardson Kennedy was was her name. She was the estranged wife of Robert F. Kennedy Jr., was found dead of an apparent suicide at her house in Bedford, and she hung herself. But the way it was announced and the way it was played out, it was pretty rough on the family. So they had a funeral for her, as typical with the Kennedys, at St. Patrick's Catholic Church in Mount Cisco, and there were a lot of Kennedy family there and other celebrity types, longtime friends that had been there. And she left behind. She was battling severe depression for years. And she left behind like four kids. And the Kennedy family definitely has had it. They have a big family, though. They have had it rough in a couple of different areas. But I think it's awful that they really just trampled on the privacy on anybody's, for anybody for that matter, and released that so quickly when somebody found her that way. Just an awful, awful thing. Want to make sure that you knew this because I'm already starting to get more pings on it, but nobody won our trifecta challenge, and we'll see what happens next time around at the Belmont. The Preakness, I'll have another, was the winner. And I'll have another was the Santa Anita, California, her horse, rather, that won the Kentucky Derby, now the second leg, the Preakness. And we'll see the Belmont. So don't forget, the Belmont is in 3 weeks. We'll do another one of our challenges. So maybe you'll clear out the prize closet then. I'm just thinking maybe someone will get lucky. Bodie Meister could not catch. I'll have another this time around either. So will the Belmont's Stakes be the one that takes the Triple Crown away or anoints this horse as a very, very special horse? Because we haven't seen a Triple Crown winner since 1978, and that horse was called Affirmed. That's a very long time to hold on to that chunk of history. Very, very long, 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 long time. It is about money when you're raising it for an election. Mitt Romney raised $11.7 million in April, while Newt Gingrich, who quit running, owes $4.8 million, according to a Federal Election Commission report. So he's got to pony up on that. It's an expensive proposition to stay in a race and to run for president. The Obama people didn't like it when the word got out that they were trying to raise $1 billion. And think about that. That's for an incumbent president, somebody who already has the power of being at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. And whether people criticize it or not, you know you can take certain liberties, let's say, wink, wink, with addressing people in the nation, you know, going traveling to different places that might happen to be a swing state. So you already have the gig, and you have to have $1 billion, you think, to run. So what do the other people have to run against the guy who already wears the crown of the presidency and has $1 billion war chest? And the answer is more money. Because you got to pay for the ads. It's about the ads. It's about the awareness. People are watching the tube. You got to flop those ads up there. Or radio ads, too, are very, very effective. So they spend a ton of money in those areas. Now, speaking of not being willing to spend a ton of money, I love this. GM is saying that it's going to stop sponsoring. It's not going to be a sponsor of the Super Bowl in 2013. So GM is usually, but can you imagine salespeople are probably freaking out. GM is usually where salespeople can reach to try to get some advertising dollars. But they're just announcing ahead of the game, we don't care about, we're not doing the Super Bowl. We understand the reach of the Super Bowl, but with the increase in price, we can't justify the expense. That's what the company's global chief marketing officer said in the Wall Street Journal. We can't do it. So we don't, you know, we're looking to keep costs down, and we've got to get rid of $2 billion over 5 years out of marketing costs for the Chevy. We got to do that. Imagine that. GM finds a way to cut $2 billion over 5 years. Oh, if only they could figure out a way to cut in Washington and start chunking away at that ridiculous deficit. Hey, speaking of the deficit, here's what Nancy Pelosi had to say about, here we go again with that Groundhog Day thing.
Here we go again. Last year, just the threat of not lifting the debt ceiling caused us to our credit rating to be lowered. This is not a responsible, mature, sensible place for us to go. We all know we have to reduce the deficit. We have to do it in a balanced way. The speaker wants to go over the edge. Bringing middle income tax cuts to the floor now, passing those, would help our economic recovery, would be a clear signal that the upper end tax cuts for the wealthy will expire.
I just want my Social Security money back. I am so tired of hearing the politicians. What do you think, America? Let's take a vote, shall we, over the next 3 weeks? Let's do it. Let's take a vote. Let me know what you think. Do you think that we should just get a check for what we've already paid in to Social Security? And I'm really serious about this. We're going to have you all weigh in on this. You can send me a note, americatonight.net. Just think, if you get press four, all you have to do is call the show or weigh in on the poll. Pretty easy. Should we just get a check? You know, Bush, when he was president, suggested that at one point. I swear it left his lips. What if the people could invest themselves? Oh, yes, brother. Send us the check. I'll take my chances. I'll figure it out. I'll stick the money under a mattress, whatever is left. Because the way things keep going, seriously, if you've paid into Social Security, I'm not really quite sure what you're going to get out of it. Unless you're in the middle of it right now. If you're drawing Social Security now, bravo, because you're okay. I think even a few years deep, it's okay. But then after that, it's every man and woman for themselves, because I don't know that it's going to be there. And tough tiddlywinks, if you paid in, oh, so sorry, we have spent all of your cash. We don't have any of it left. We can't even send you that little $1,000 check we promised we would send you every single month. I don't know. Maybe I'm going to start a tent city. When I get old and gray, want to live in my tent city? That's where we're all headed. I swear we are. Stay with us. Much more to come here on America Tonight.
Digestive health is the key to wellness and elimination of toxins. That bears repeating. Digestive health is the key to wellness and elimination of toxins. And Pro-EM-1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse is the key to digestive health. Pro-EM-1 is a powerful liquid probiotic, strong enough to cleanse, gentle enough to use every day. Pro-EM-1 is dairy, wheat, and soy free, contains all natural and certified organic ingredients, contains no preservatives or animal products, supports a healthy digestive and immune system, supports weight loss, improves absorption of food nutrients, aids in controlling yeast infections, is never freeze-dried, and uses three groups of live, viable, beneficial microbes to cleanse and remove toxins. Order Pro-EM-1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse at Terraganics.com, spelled TerraganiX.com, Terraganics.com, or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Pro-EM-1, the raw probiotic.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
Hey, meat eaters. The freeze-dried guy wants to know, does your emergency food supply meet the standards for survival? Then get the 144-day meat variety unit from the freeze-dried guy. Our meat units utilize only quality Mountain House freeze-dried cooked ground chicken and ground beef, the undisputed choice for great taste and highest nutrition. The freeze-dried guy's 144-day meat variety unit includes 6 number 10 cans of the very best freeze-dried animal protein for power you'll need when the going gets tough. Every meat eater's 144-day meat variety variety unit comes with a free medical kit and always free shipping to the lower 48. Need more than 144 days? See our one-year plus Meat Eaters units at freezedryguy.com. And hey, the Freeze Dry Guy still has LRP rations, but they're going fast. Don't wait until tomorrow. Call now, 866-404-3663. That's 866-404-3663. Or go to freezedryguy.com and meet the standards for survival.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
How's your pH today? Are you acidic? How alkaline is your blood and body? What is the pH of the water you drink? We are AlkaVision, and we have the answers. Drinking pure, high-alkaline water is one of the most important factors in maintaining vibrant health and high energy, because bacteria and viruses cannot survive in an alkaline, high pH environment. If your drinking water isn't at a pH level of 8 or higher, boost it with AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops. Our unique formula will alkalize your water, ridding your body of harmful toxins and acid, and help regain energy and health. Simply add 10 drops of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops to help your body rid itself of acidic waste, increase oxygen, and raise the pH of your body to optimal levels. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops for only $29.95 at AlkaVision.com, spelled AlkaVision.com, or call 800-518-7615, 800-518-7615. Alkalize your body, supercharge your health at AlkaVision.com.
Welcome back to America Tonight. As you know, when the Supreme Court was hearing the oral arguments about Obamacare, we were there in Washington, D.C. It's always a pleasure to welcome to the show somebody with armed with facts and, frankly, some great opinions on the situation with health care and a few other things about reelecting President Obama. Dennis Wolf joins us again. He's a health care claims consultant and a whole lot more. Hey, Dennis, how are you?
Great. I'm doing well. Thank you, Kate. How about you?
I'm doing well. Thank you for asking. Hey, so I mentioned the thing about the Supreme Court arguments. What do you think, and I know you're up on this and you read everything and all that, what do you think is going to happen? Are the Supremes going to vote to strike it down, the individual mandate, and maybe the whole thing falls apart? Or do you think it stands?
Well, the short answer is I think they have no choice but to strike down the mandate. And I believe that Justice Breyer, who is typically one of the four on the left, will actually look at this from the perspective of the 10th Amendment, the Commerce Clause, everything, and he'll have no choice but to vote to strike down the mandate. So I think you're going to see a 6-3 vote to strike down the mandate. I think you're going to see a 5-4 vote to strike down the entire legislation, with Breyer going back to the left side again. But I do believe this, and one of the reasons why is because Justice Kennedy made an interesting quote that has somehow missed the media, and he has said that he will not resign until President Obama leaves office. So there's obviously some ill winds blowing there for the president.
Oh, yeah, no kidding. And so for people who would counteract that and say, oh, but Dennis, that's a terrible thing. Health care was on its way up to a much better position for people, people being able to afford it with more opportunities. I say we've shown that that's not really the case. You're in the biz. What would you tell people?
Well, first of all, 25 years ago when I wrote my book on health care cost delivery reform, not mm-hmm. health care reform, I made it very clear that the insurance companies were going to have to take a subservient role in the process of who's the primary payer. any type of healthcare cost delivery reform is going to have to look at all of the mechanisms in play, both in the delivery and in the cost side. Obamacare does absolutely none of that. It is nothing more than a confiscatory tax increase vehicle that will essentially take us out of being able to buy our own health insurance, and worse than that, being able to absolutely get any care at all once rationing is forced to kick in. All we are doing, Kate, is changing a multitude of insurance carriers for one insurance carrier, the entire United States government. And we all know how much money the government has.
Yeah, exactly. Isn't that part of the problem that we're talking about?
Yeah.
And you know, it's interesting that, as you say, your book was so ahead of its time. Now we see, though, that the IRS, I just talked to someone the other day, and I think this is pretty well known, but they already have hired people, Dennis, and they're working with people to fill these positions to go after the folks who decide, I can't afford it, I'm not going to get their health care, I'm not going to get any kind of health care, so that they could suffer being fined. So there's already people we're training.
Exactly. And again, it speaks to my point that this legislation had nothing to do with providing health care to people. It had to do with finding new significant ways to increase taxes and go after people who don't pay solely on the basis of using an intangible, often and most often misunderstood product, and that's the accessing of the health care system. What I'm really concerned about right now, and what I said of a few weeks ago, was that I think we are headed for the largest constitutional crisis this country's ever faced when the court actually strikes down this legislation. Obama's moving forward full speed ahead with the IRS funding. I believe it was $500 million, hiring new agents, 4,000 at this time. Although, let's not forget, the stimulus bill had within it 30 pages devoted to the high tech, which allowed for the creation of 16,000 agents. People forget about that stimulus bill, which was passed a few weeks after he was inaugurated, for a few days.
Mm-hmm.
Then you couple that with the Department of Health and Human Services firing on all guns with Catherine Sebelius over there implementing every piece of regulatory legislation she can get. They want to layer this thing to the point where there's no way they can nullify it or reverse it once the Supreme Court strikes it down. Therein, you have a constitutional crisis.
Oh, boy. And Armageddon, really. That's what it is. That's what you're saying.
We're in a very dangerous time because what Obama just did yesterday was signed an executive order basically saying that we will now abide by international law. We don't have time on this show to talk about how NGOs function all over the world. I've attended conferences in the United Nations building in Geneva, and I've seen it firsthand. They lay the groundwork for international law, and this president seems to be focused like a laser on getting rid of our Supreme Court for lawmaking decisions. And you have to think, well, why is he pushing that right now? And then you say, well, let's connect just two dots. One, the Supreme Court's about to strike down his legislation. His signature's all over it, Obamacare. And two, if he can create, by executive order, a ruling that he isn't going to abide by the United States laws, but international laws, then he sets up a fiat where he says, okay, well, I don't care what you rule. I'm going by international law. All countries provide health care to their citizens. That's putting us right over the cliff if this happens.
Yeah, boy, no kidding. And people are missing that, I think, somehow. There's something that you say. You sent me a little piece that I thought was terrific, and that's why we're having this conversation.
Sure.
And in your piece, you say, individually and collectively, and we talk about this all the time on America Tonight, you demand from your communities across America that presidential candidate Mitt Romney be the leader that is required of the office he seeks. So people will say that. People will say, well, I'm not going to vote because Romney's not really the guy. He's not going to get elected. And so you say you have to get out there and do something about it.
We have to put pressure on him to, quote, unquote, grow into the person that can hold the office that he seeks. He presently is waffling all over the place. I've heard him actually speak, and I know everybody who listens to some of these things will hear it too, where he goes, well, I'm not going to call Obama socialist, but blah, blah, blah. And then he turns around and says, well, he follows a lot of the European direction. Okay, fine. Then he turns around and he berates the European processes as rampantly socialistic. And I go, well, if A equals B and B equals C, then A equals C. and yet he will not do it. We're seeing the reincarnation of the John McCain campaign, and it's going to destroy this candidate's opportunity to save this country. And we desperately need to get Obama out of office.
Yeah, why is it? You think that they just don't want to go there? They just want to. They don't want to go on the attack too much because they don't want to be labeled, or they're afraid what they'll alienate some of the Republican Party.
I wish I had the answer to that. Sometimes I think it causes me to wonder whether the Republicans are Democrat light and the Democrats are Republican heavy. I don't even know anymore which party. I switched my party affiliation to independent because I'm so frustrated with both parties. Whether or not they'll get this is something I don't know. We haven't had a solid candidate running for president, really, since President George W. Bush. People like him or hate him, it's not relevant. The fact is he campaigned hard and stood his ground on what he stood for.
I mean,
we're in deep water right now, and it's uncharted, and I think that Benjamin Franklin probably said it best, Kate, when he came out of the Constitutional Convention, and I'm going to paraphrase it, please forgive me for not knowing the exact words. The reporters asked him, the media asked him that, says, well, what did you do in there? And he said, well, we gave the citizens a country. Now it's up to them to see if they can keep it. And we're there right now.
And it is about the people, and there is power in people and power in numbers, as you say. And I think more people need to realize that they do have a say, that they do have a stake in this. And so much of what's happening, if we continue down this road, and you brush on this too, you talk about this, it's not about a popularity contest. There's a misnomer there.
I was a Democrat when I first registered to vote. I still deeply admire Harry Truman because of the leadership he gave to the office. I'm a great admirer of Ronald Reagan. And to some degree, people believe it or not, I actually found some good parts of Bill Clinton. I think we've had some good leaders. What bothers me right now is we're not getting those kind of people that are rising up. It's all about money and power.
Yeah, and then unfortunately, what are they controlled by, and who do you have to answer to in that case? What do you think we're going to see, Dennis, numbers of people turning out? You think it's going to be a pathetic turnout for the election?
Well, I'm going to surprise you on this. There was a generation ago, 40 years ago, in fact, it was 40 years this year, 40 years ago, in 1972, a man got reelected, and we all know who that was, for those that are historically aware, Richard Nixon.
Mm-hmm.
And how did he get that re-election? Do you remember? I'll answer it for you. It was the Nixon silent majority. Do you remember that?
Yes.
I believe that generation, which is now in its 70s and 80s, that rose up, are going to rise up one more time. I think you're going to see a landslide against Obama, and it'll be that generation's last hurrah for actively voting and saying, okay, we're done. We're not going to let this happen again. Now, the problem I'm concerned about is that Obama's not a fool. If there's anything he has an unbelievably well-oiled machine. If his internal polls see that he's that dangerously close to losing, he has the power of the presidency to declare an international crisis, a national crisis. We have no idea what this man is capable of, and it's up to every American to remain diligent and demand that he be the ethical person he purported to be when he first ran in 2008.
Wow, I love that. The silent majority, if it is the last hurrah, then forget about the youth vote. It's really about the older vote.
That's right. The youth vote is irrelevant.
Yeah, I agree with you. A lot is made about that, but it was relevant in 2008 for Obama, but it's not relevant in this one. Absolutely,
no. Absolutely.
Dennis Wolf, always terrific to talk to you. If somebody wants to get a copy of your book, how can they do that?
I will give away free copies. It's never about selling the book. It's about educating the people. All they have to do is email me at jdwolfe, jdwolfe@jdwolfe.com, jdwolfe@jdwolfe.com. I'll even cover the postage. People need to wake up in this country.
Yeah, absolutely. Amen. Hey, thanks, Dennis. Take care, and thanks so much for coming on.
Would it save you time to get the best quality water filters and the best quality storable foods from one company? You bet it would, and now you can at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. Big Berkey Water Filter products and great-tasting, long-lasting, storable Wise Foods are both now available on one website, BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. Wise Foods, ready-to-eat meals are packed in airtight nitrogen pouches and come with a 25-year shelf life. Big Berkey Water Filters are powerful enough to purify treated, untreated, or even stagnant pond water. Combine Berkey Water Filters with Wise Foods for an unbeatable preparedness combination. Get free shipping on every order over $50. And GCN listeners receive 5% off all ceramic filter systems. Visit Big, B-E-R-K-E-Y, waterfilters.com. Or call 877-99-BERKEY. That's 877-99-B-E-R-K-E-Y. Or go to BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com.
All whey protein powders are not created equal. Fresh liquid whey has been used for hundreds of years to restore health to the sick and youth to the aging. Why is it that no one reports these benefits from today's whey protein powders? It is because they are all processed with heat or chemicals, which damages them, making them a burden for your body and making it more likely to cause allergies. One World Whey's True Cool process retains all the powerful properties of fresh raw whey in a concentrated powder. One World Whey is speeding up the body's ability to get healthy, and it is replacing the need for many other supplements. To learn how One World Whey may help you with fat loss, the elimination of inflammation and pain, detoxification of heavy metals, intestinal health, brain function, and increases in strength, energy, and muscle size, call 888-988-3325. Mention coupon code KNOCKOUT and you'll receive a free tube of Knockout Pain Cream with your order, which eliminates soft tissue pain in 10 minutes for 90% of users. Call 888-988-3325 or visit OneWorldWhey.com. That's OneWorld, W-H-E-Y.com.
For a long time, you've heard me talk about building your own food supply with eFoods Direct. As a listener, you know why you need to have a supply of the best storable food on the planet. Every day, we document the attempts to take control of our lives. But there's one thing we can all control, your greatest dependency, food. eFoods Direct products are made with only the best ingredients and none of the trash and contaminants like trans fats, GMOs, or MSG. This food is nutrient dense and tastes great. It's simple to make, portable, and has a shelf life of up to 25 years. Now with eFoods Direct, you'll get the most affordable, best tasting food you can buy. And the new products and pricing will blow you away. Compared to other food sources, including home cooked meals, you can cut your food cost in half. You just can't afford to ignore this. Call 800-409-5633. Or go to eFoodsDirect.com/Alex for specials. Don't let this offer pass you by. Call 800-409-5633 or eFoodsDirect.com/Alex. More the best for less guaranteed.
Well, we've been talking about the documents, the Osama bin Laden documents being released, 17 in all by the CTC. And some of what was in these documents we'll talk about a little bit later in the show. So it's been just over a year since the death of Al-Qaeda leader Osama bin Laden. So what's happened? What's different? What's going on? Very pleased to welcome to the show Craig Charney. Charney has a New York-based international polling firm. You know, I'm the queen of polls. It specializes in crisis countries. It's so true. And emerging markets. Craig, you have no idea. You're coming. You're being so welcomed here because it's really true. I am the queen of polls. I love what you guys do. I think it's so cool. So as we look back over a year, what's the biggest difference? What's changed in a year?
What we can see now is that the death of bin Laden was the end of what I call Al-Qaeda 1.0, but the start for Al-Qaeda 2.0. The old command and control system that centered on the guy with the beard hanging out by the Pakistani military academy is no more. But instead, what's become clear is that in a whole bunch of other places, like Yemen, Algeria, Somalia, and others, their affiliates, friends, and followers are nonetheless burrowing away.
So, and they're burrowing away. While that's going on, there has been a complete shift to other parts of the Middle East and to other parts a little bit further away from what used to be ground zero. Is that right?
That's right. I mean, it's important to note that they haven't lost all their followers, but they're down to a small-ish minority in places like Pakistan, where maybe one out of eight people is favorable to them, and maybe something similar in Afghanistan. Still, between 200 million people, that's a lot of folks, and they can cause a good deal of mischief. But the old idea of Al-Qaeda, remember, was not just to cause a lot of mischief in the middle of Asia. It was to be able to conduct spectacular attacks against the U.S. through a pretty complex command and control system. That's what's gotten smashed.
So as that's been smashed, what has stepped up in its place? What's now in place?
What you might call a franchise operation, a little like McDonald's. They let people use the name, and they give operational techniques and advice, only instead of Hamburg University, it's bomb-making university. And what we're seeing as a result is two things. One is more violence happening in a variety of places. Northern Nigeria, the takeover by some odd mixture of jihadists and tribalists in northern Mali, the struggles of the Shabab in Somalia, as well as a certain lingering sympathy in places like Libya and Egypt for certain elements of the jihad. And what we're also seeing in terms of the attempts to attack the homeland have been sort of low-tech, much simpler things. People like Najib Al-Azazi, the guy who was just testifying against his friend here in New York, was trying to do a repeat of the London bus and subway bombings here just a couple of years ago for the 10th anniversary of 9/11, or the crotch bomb a couple of years back, who was trying to set off a small bomb in his underwear.
Oh, yeah. So you think that that's going to continue to be the method of trying to attack the West is by using, as you said, bombs, those kind of clever bombs, that kind of stuff?
Lower tech, more modest technologies as opposed to the kind of huge spectacular that was arranged on 9/11, and that bin Laden kept trying to arrange, according to the documents, right up to the day of his death. I mean, he ends up sounding a little bit like Hitler in the mad days of the end of the Third Reich, where he was trying to order around non-existent armies, and his aides were afraid to tell him that they weren't there. I mean, in the case of the Al-Qaeda documents, they're constantly having to explain to him, we can't do this, we can't do that, so-and-so is dead. But the fact that they can't conduct that kind of spectacular means that they're not an existential threat, but at the same time, it means that they can be something more than a nuisance and can cause real damage from time to time. You know, if they brought down one of those planes, for example.
Exactly. So as everything has shifted, and you mentioned you threw a few of the places out, of course, Somalia, Nigeria, you look at Yemen. Yemen is really the hot spot. But if it's the hot spot, and we know it's the hot spot, aren't a lot of our efforts to try to thwart Al-Qaeda or the 1 in 8 or whoever it is that's being turned, isn't that the idea, is to get in there and infiltrate?
Well, Yemen, remember, is where the bin Ladens actually came from, and it's the place where they enjoyed the most sympathy in the Arab world, in fact. It's also a very badly misgoverned place. What we have seen in the last few months is the end of an old regime which had really outlasted its tolerance in terms of the Yemeni people. And now there's an attempt at a transition towards something that will be more tolerable. I'm not sure if I can necessarily say much more democratic, but at least more tolerable to the people.
Yeah.
But at the same time, in certain parts of the country where the state's grip is weakened, a couple of provinces in particular, the Al-Qaeda people are trying to make these their own.
Yeah. So they're trying to win them over in a much different way. But, of course, as you've done work in Afghanistan, big difference between Afghanistan, Pakistan, and Yemen. What are the biggest differences? And let me explain that a little bit further. From what I understand, the toughest thing about Afghanistan is the illiteracy rate is so high, and the information most of the people get is through their visits to the local mosque. They don't really have televisions. Like, when we apologize for certain things that have happened, television isn't widespread. Maybe in your more modern areas, for lack of a better way to say that. But isn't it true that it's still a big difference in the communication methods, and hasn't this been a big problem of the gap that the United States has had trying to cover this?
Well, radio is the key communications medium in Afghanistan, actually. 70% of Afghans listen to the radio at least 3 or 4 times a week, and interestingly enough, the Voice of America and BBC have its largest audiences in Afghanistan.
Mm.
That said, however, Taliban support tends to concentrate in the other 20 or 30%, the people who are not listening to the radio, the people who are not on the grid, and who are getting their information from their friendly neighborhood mullah or Taliban leader. So there is some truth to that. Of course, even in a place like Yemen, the media war is also going on. The biggest difference between Afghanistan and these other countries is twofold. First, that Afghanistan was ruled before by the Taliban, which left a very bad taste in the mouths of most Afghans. And second, it's been the host, willing or unwilling, of 150,000 foreign troops. And that, in many Afghans, has also been a problem. There were particular problems in 06 and 07 when the civilian casualty rate was very high. And even though we brought it down, you know, there is a certain amount of resentment at both cultural incidents like the various Quran desecration allegations and also the presence of a large number of foreigners who are not Muslim. That's why in places like Yemen, what we've tried to do is to work with local security forces and develop their strength for counterinsurgency while at the same time engaging in, well, you can't really call a Hellfire missile a surgical strike, but engaging in very specific pinpoint strikes for counterterrorism, like the attack that killed Anwar al-Awlaki.
Yeah. Craig, and I mentioned this at the top, of course, you specialize in international polling and crisis countries, emerging markets. Got to be fascinating stuff. What of the polls that you've done, and you've done them for You've done the polls for the government, international agencies, and NGOs, which I find so fascinating that you've been doing this for a decade. And when, as you've seen what happened initially in the beginning to where we are now, what's the thing that surprised you the most about the opinions in the Middle East of the United States? What are you getting? What's some of the information that you found just made you scratch your head?
Well, I guess the biggest piece was the fact that people in the Middle East and Asia, too, often don't know what it is the U.S. is doing positively in their countries. When we read people in focus groups in places like Egypt, Morocco, and Indonesia, lists of all the U.S. aid projects in their countries, they nearly fell out of their chairs. They found them hard to believe. Some of them said, well, if all that were true, we'd be friends of America. But we've done, one of the things I really came to understand was what a bad job we've done in terms of public diplomacy and telling our own stories, and especially since the U.S. Information Agency was dismantled in 1996 at the behest of Jesse Helms. We sort of unilaterally disarmed in the war of ideas.
Yeah. Well, and see, this is what I would have, it's amazing you found that, and I would agree, because I've seen the same thing from people we have talked to in Afghanistan. What's not, things that are done in villages, how they're getting water, how they're building roads, some of that somehow gets lost in translation or just it's never filtered down. So you're right, so there's not enough bragging.
There's a double paradox, and what we see is that Americans consistently overestimate our foreign aid, while the recipients consistently underestimate it. If you poll Americans, they tell you we're spending 40% of the budget on foreign aid. If you tell ask the foreigners, they'll tell you next to nothing.
Yeah, boy, interesting stuff. Craig Charney, I know you had a hustle to get on the air with us. We appreciate that from Charney Research. Thanks so much. We'll talk to you again.